unbelievable, you know? I want to say good evening to you and welcome to Only BC Christian Center right here in Pekin, Ohio, amen? Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, summertime is here, amen? We're a little light tonight, so we need to spread the word, because what we're going to do is on Sunday, we're going to have a Bible in a box. And so I'm just letting you know that tonight, between now and Sunday, if there's a statement you want to make, if there's something that you want to believe God to be saying, especially as you go to the Lord, I want you to write any statement in anybody's name, and you're going to put it in this Bible or in this box. And we're going to have that put under our counter that's going to be called on Monday. Amen? So we're still going to get the Lord a little bit. So anything that you believe in God for, you got people who believe in, you're going to be saved. If you're just a faith statement, something that you believe in God for, you're going to put it in that Bible and you're going to put it in that foundation. And the whole story is not going to be for, but the right side of the bathroom is what they're going to be for. They're going to put that concrete in on Monday. And then on the church of all the rain and the wetness and the fact that we have not had time for media, they're probably going to leave the other side unconcreted until the building itself goes up. We're going to have both concrete on the left side until the building goes up, because they got to drive big equipment in and out of the way, which would be going across the concrete. And at all costs, what we're going to do is put as least stress on the concrete as possible, because we want to make sure for the long term it's out there. Yeah, so we need to change this. Because one time we had my little nephew, Wade, who just graduated, he came running in and said, "Gina, I need help. Give me some concrete." And in his little playbook, he was having a battle with bad guys, and he wanted to put concrete up to block them. And so, he's a good bad man, I'll be able to talk to that. He said, whenever we talk about concrete, it's about the concrete you wish you had that's not really there yet, amen? So that's how this for us. Where's our concrete? But what we're going to do is I want you to be praying and thinking about it, because on Sunday we're going to hit that. And then we're going to put that Monday in the contractor. We're going to put it out there. We're going to put concrete right in there. It's going to be part of our foundation. And we want the Bible there. Why? Because we want the Word of God to always be the foundation that we're standing on. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So after that, we'll be looking to try to see, you know, whether the record camera in the building will be going up. And we are believing God that this weather is going to stop long enough for the farmers to plant and for us to get planted in a new building. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, tonight, what I'm going to tell you is that it's just as true that the Lord says that He gathers the nation. Wherever a few are gathered in His name, He will be right in the midst of us. Amen? So we're going to step right into worship, and we're so thankful for what God has done. And I keep hearing this statement in my spirit, that we are thankful that God is in the middle of everything in the world. I'll tell you what, God's in everything. We have going on, whether it's our work, our personal life, how we're feeling, our finances, there's nothing that we have that God's not in the middle of right now. But what I'm also thankful for is God is right in the middle of everything that's coming that we don't even know about. And so while we can see all these things and we're praying for God to be a part of our resources, what I'm excited about is that your Father goes before you, and He's already taken care of what you can't even see yet. Amen? So we're going to rejoice in Him, we're going to be thankful, and God bless you for being here tonight, each and every one of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is a good God. Hey, before we leave on, I'll tell you what. Just keep a little music in the background. I'll be coming around here, please. And where's God? Is there anybody else in here that has been sick and you have a little bit of sickness? Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, my God, Son of Jesus, God, right now, all of you, God, in your section of the Bible, that is touching this young man, God, in the name of Jesus, to come out of his body. Lord, I need healing in the work of the universe in this body, Father. And Lord, this will not just be a collection for the moment. God, realign silences, God. Realign, God, whatever's in this system, God, that allergic reaction, this sense of God, and instruction will not even be something that will reoccur for me, Father. Lord, I just thank you for healing. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak to you for this condition, Father. Lord, I speak right now, God, not just to infection and sinus and God, allergic reaction and pain, but Father, I speak to you for this condition that is concerned over the world. And Lord, I commit all of that to be made whole right now in Jesus' name. I wish you to create this reflection of you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, my God, I thank you that this is going to break out of her, that she's going to breathe straight out of her, and that this return condition is eliminated right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, come on up, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, my God, I speak to every joint, Father. Lord, I speak. Lord, I speak to these vertebrae, God. I command every joint to be realigned, God. Lord, I command pain, discomfort, God. That sharp pain, God, that makes the gas catch his breath, leaving one or two of the cheapest footing, God. I command all of that to be corrected in the coming of the name of Jesus. My God, I release the working of miracles. God, I release creative reflection, Father, God, and strengthen it. Every vertebrae, every bone, every joint, Father, Lord, I command it to be made whole, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on up here. What do we got going on?
Hallelujah. Jesus is good. Amen. All the time. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Let's make some
announcements.
Chicken and dumplings, amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. if it really was the blessing, you love Pastor Robbie, what's going to make you do? These guys love you guys. I mean, I just, I don't know if Pastor Robbie made some comments about a good time for Pastor Jeff, Pastor Matt, the guys from Microsoft, called from my friend, and said, hey, you don't look good, you don't look good. So people love you guys. And I'm not saying this in a wrong way. I'm saying this that it's not just because you're associated with unbelievable minds. They recognize who you are, but they recognize who you are as a congregation. And they love you. And they love the community. And they love what's happening in this church. And so I want you to know that people are with you. They have a heart for you.
We're going to be here. Amen. Yes.
That's exactly right. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, there are going to be some people that come to preach for us when we move. But I'm telling you, you guys better be ready. You need to be ready because people are ready to come and fall into our lives. People are excited. And you have a responsibility. But it's also a time of blessing. I'm telling you, take your vacation out of the family and your home. We're going to have our own life out there. We're going to have people come and give it over. So say all the prayers that we're part of. It's amazing because I think sometimes we forget as Christians that we are people that may be subject to the battle of this world. So we can't avoid every battle, but the grace is that God provides for us. And it was amazing because when I heard the story today, I kind of really went and I said, hey, it's going to be 2 to 3 hours before we can get away. And then I said, and I said, oh, things change. You know, it's been 15 minutes. And they took the ride with him and they said, oh, we're going to have to do all these pre-screenings and the doctor came in and said, no. He said, we've done enough to see. And he looked at that and he said, no. He said, we've done enough to see. That this is what it is. That we're just going to be the soap, verify the soap. So see that one little procedure instead of multiple procedures by the hand of the grace of God. So it's amazing. We also have, give the Lord a hand. We also have a young man that we prayed for on Sunday because his father had to go for what they said was a tumor, a cancer tumor, and he was placed on surgery. And we prayed and I said, hey, they're going to be more accepting. I said, listen, God, let me know that he's in your place. They're going to be more accepting, and it's not going to be what they said to me. I said, even if they're not surgery, I got a text just a few minutes before surgery. I got a text just a few minutes before service that said, Pastor, it wasn't even a tumor. They said, it's barely a small cyst. And the doctor said, right now, we don't even need to detect it, so we're not even doing any surgery at all. Amen? So battles come, but the Lord will unfold the weapons that come against our lives. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to go to the next one. So anyway, we're excited about that. And we're excited about that. So we're praying for where for six of the speakers to work on that. And we're going to go to the
conference. And we're going to go to
the conference. And we're going to go to the conference. And we're going to
go to the conference. If I talk, I'm going to get back to you. You need to be thinking good. I'm suddenly worried. Hey, our pastor's just in the line to be here. And so, we're just going to stop on and have a meeting with you guys. I thought this would not be here that much, but I just thought this would have a portion that I just knew you had. So, I'm just going to go through this.
Is going to be on July 20th from 4 to 7. You know that there will be a meeting in the hall. You can go to the hall if you want to have a meeting.
This week we're going into something to Pentecost, so praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Did I not check it over to Pentecost today? My goodness, thank you. Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you. There is something coming here. You don't have to work for me. Oh, really? So how is everybody doing? Great, great, great. I just want to tell you, that's awesome. Amen. Wow, praise the Lord. The Lord is working. Hey, listen to this. I'm going to tell you something. On Sunday morning, Franklin Warren, Billy Green's son, is asking Christians around the world to pray for the president into the United States. Now, this is not a political thing. It's a commandment that I'm going to go over out of the Bible, where the Bible said that if God's people would pray for all of those who are in authority, we could live a good and peaceful life on this earth. And I'll tell you what, we just got torn up and torn up, which is not a surprise, because the enemy said that he would increase what he does to do. That we're just going to pray because we want our nation to be protected, we want God's people to be protected, because we need to be ready to preach the gospel and have the entire harvest come together. So we're just going to be praying about our meetings on Sunday. So just put that in your heart, that we're going to pray for everybody that has authority, from the president on down to the military, to our leaders, everybody involved in keeping peace and faith and our constitutional commitments in the earth and in the U.S. here. We're just going to be believing God, because we just need to be touched, and we really need to be revived and strengthened. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, I'm just going to speak to you for just a little bit tonight, and I'm going to call this message Determined and Intentional. Determined and intentional. And you're going to say, Pastor, yes, this is a Bible study where I want to talk to you. Determined and intentional. And I want us to begin to understand something, that there are natures that need to be accomplished despite all the things that can go on in life. And I want you to understand that the Lord Himself, when He went to the cross, and when He became poor to give us wealth and laid down what he had a right to, and he grafted him into two years, and as the firstborn of God, and he says himself, Jesus said, the first of many brethren. You know, when you are born into a bloodline, when you become a brother, there is an inheritance that is associated with you. You know, whether I like it or not, if you line me up and my brothers up and my sisters up, and you lined up on mom and dad, you guys would look and say, oh, yeah, that's me. You look like a walker. You talk to the Jesus, he'll say, yeah, you're spoiled like a walker, amen? Because I tell you what, he looked like it the first time he went home. Whether it was my nieces and nephews, whether it was my mom, they paid it to me like I was the most important person in the world, didn't they?
Do you want water? Oh, baby, do you want that? Don't get that from my little paper.
But I'm telling you that because here's what I want to know. The characteristics that are in God are in you. See, we can be merciful because he's merciful. We can be faithful because he's faithful. But we can also be absolutely determined. And we can be intentional in what we do and how we live because God is determined and he is intentional. Remember when the Lord prepared for us, one thing about God is he says, I know the end from the beginning. He said, so therefore I could have my son as a sacrifice from the foundation of the world. In other words, when God committed to make humanity, he also committed to protect humanity. He committed to rescue humanity, and he committed to provide for humanity. Can I tell you, Christians, that when you make a determination to be a Christian, then God gives you the intentional, sovereign power of the kingdom of God to be able to complete the journey. Are you going to be fat? You better believe you're going to be fat. Are you going to suffer disappointment? You better believe disappointment, challenge, aggressive results of the enemy trying to kill and destroy and do all the work against you. All of that's going to be real. But what's more real is that the determination of you to be a Christian comes with the intentional commitment from God to empower you to do what it takes. You know what, as Christians, I'm sorry, but if you sit there and make an excuse about your continued lifelong service and you never rise up against it, you're going to stand before God and be accountable for the fact that he says, I promise in my promises what I would do bring to you. And so I want you to understand something, that as Christians, we have to be determined and we have to be intentional about the decisions we do and the actions we take. Listen, I love you, but God is clear. He has revealed his word because in his word is safety, love, power, and grace. And in his word, he tells you what you can do. And he tells you what you can't do. And he's not telling you what you can't do to keep you from anything. He's telling you what you can't do so he can guarantee what you can do and what he has the right as God to bring upon you. And so I just want to speak some things to us tonight. And I'm probably going to sound like I'm a prosperity preacher tonight. And I guess in some ways I am, because if you love God, prosperity and blessing is going to come above you. Oh, don't get mad. Listen, in the garden they were blessed, and they still came to heaven. But they rose up from that, and then Abraham came, he was blessed. And when Abraham came out, the blessings of God came to all people. And they crossed many different places of fortification and empowerment. But I guess I just got to start at something that the Lord told me to write down during worship. okay, I hope my scribbles are correct. Oh my, my scribbles are correct. So, amen. Psalm 75, verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. It says, I said unto the foolish, deal not foolishly. And to the wicked, lift not up the horn. I lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff lip. In other words, don't be full of yourself and prideful. And to be stiff lipped, it means don't speak so highly of yourself that you oppose God. You know, anytime I hear people too assured about what they got figured out and how they're taking control of their I'm just concerned that we better make sure that we need room for God. And so here it says this, and this is what I want you to hear. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and set aside another. And what that means is that when we come into salvation, we have got to receive the promotion of God. We've got to receive the fact that in salvation, the Lord tells us, no, 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 this didn't come upon you because you ever loved me. This came upon you because I chose you and I love you. But the minute God promotes us into that arena where he says, listen, this is coming from me. Because I love you, I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to give you that which you don't even deserve because I love you. But the minute that happens, God settles us into a new position of sonship whereby now we have to become and we have to be intentional and have faith to believe that what God said is true. I once was a sinner, but now that I'm saved by grace, I'm a new creature, and my nature is the sonship of Jesus Christ. And because of that sonship that's on me, listen, I'm not under the law of the curse of sin. I do not have to be sinful every day. I do not have to be evil-minded. I do not have to be wicked in my intentions. I do not have to have anger that takes over me so that I'm so far out of control I can't calm myself down. I do not have to be desperate. I do not have to be destructive. I do not have to self-impose wrong things into my life. And I do not have to have attitudes that lead me to accept any old weird woe is me that wants to come towards my life. I want you to know something that God truly empowers us to make decisions. And you know what? I want to tell you something. I love you, but remember that the Lord says, since I have come, there now remains no hope, no cover, no excuse for sin to be running after the Lord. Because the Lord in his love promotes us into a place where God actually says, when we get to heaven. No. When we receive salvation, the Lord says immediately, I make you above and not beneath you. I make you the head and not the tail. I actually translate you up to the kingdom of my dear son. And we have a right, as it were, to live above the fray or the destruction of what the world can do to the people who are not in unity in relationship with God. So I want you to know something. Promotion comes from the Lord. And God wants you to know that when you come into covenant with him, unless you refuse it, unless you outwardly rebel against God and go in directions that oppose his kingdom and his direction of what he lays out for you, unless you fight against them purposely, you will see goodness come upon your life. just in one area and leaving everything else broken. Not just in two areas and leaving everything else broken. But if you are God in each area of your life, then you will see God's healing power begin to impact each area of your life. Now listen, you cannot control everything that everybody else does. But you can come into a place where you can control and determine what is going to happen with you and God and your life. Amen? And if you will allow God to fix, do, and move in you and your life, then there is an overflow that without fail and without doubt will touch the lives of others. Amen? Now I want to just read something else to you here. In Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20 says this. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked has little words. And I'm going to tell you something, I don't mean to be mean, but I tell you right now that as a believer, we can feel if you are taking that position of really being the judge by what's coming out of your mouth. And I want to know something, believers. Once you're saved, and once you are a child of the living God, then you need to understand the most powerful weapon you have is the sword of the Spirit, or the words that will not come out of your mouth. And that sword should be wielded in your prayer life. And that sword should be wielded in your love life for others. And then that sword should be wielded in your confession over yourself, over others, and over the kingdom of God in your life. Remember, there was a woman who was barren and did not have children. And she took care of that prophet in the book of Kings, and everything happened well. And all of a sudden, one day he said to her, "What can I pray for you about?" And he said, "The Lord wants you to pray for me about a child." Said, "Oh my goodness, don't you lie to me and don't you speak to me about something because I've been born and this could be a painful thing." But then all of a sudden she got pregnant and she had a child. But that child, when he was 12 years old, got struck with something, possibly a brain aneurysm or something like that. But he said he had a great pain in his head and he fell as though dead. Now, this woman could have positioned herself and said, I'm going to give you a job. Without being able to meet the need of whatever need we have coming against us. And it says that immediately she saw the prophet and she said, "Brother, you have gotten in this mess, so I'm going to punch you." And she started making her way towards that prophet. And from afar off, he must have been able to discern something was not right because he said, "Hey, run towards her and see if it's worth it." And lo and behold, the armor bearer for the prophet ran back and said, "Is your husband well?" She said, "Oh, he's well. He's better than the day. He's this way. He's the top." She said, "Oh, he is well." And he ran back and said, "Hey, the baby doesn't look good, but the woman is saying, all is well." And immediately the prophet came, took the child, prayed, and God did the work. I want you to know something that we as believers have got to learn to look beyond our present content, we've got to learn to look beyond what may be comfortable right now. We've got to learn to look beyond what's going on right now and remember that no matter what we see, we have a promise. And we have a right. The Bible even declares to us, whose report will you believe? As for me, I will believe the report of the Lord. And upon that report that you stand, you will see an outcome. And I want you to know, there's no limit in time. But remember Abraham. Remember Joseph. Remember the disappointment, the discouragement. Remember King David at a young age, he had a prophecy about being the king. And after many challenges, he even said, my goodness, how did I not done my best? And the king said, oh, you've been on the road this time today. But he still didn't see nothing yet, did he? Abraham suffered 25 years of waiting, but he did not give up. And I hear that King Solomon got the humble declaration that they truly got to be the king and the queen of all the generations of God. Amen? I want you to understand that adversity is going to fight us, but we must be determined and we must be intentional. And what I mean by that is that we must determine right away that when something happens that we're unprepared for, and when something happens that opposes God, we are in place of our life. That no matter what everybody else's decision is, we have to intentionally decide, I'm not going to change, and I'm not going to move, and I'm going to move. We've got to trust God. You know, I had someone who did recently, they said to me that they got a nice promotion at their job, and they said, oh, man, I said, that's great. Now you get this, you get more responsibility. I said, this is a great increase for you and your family. They said, oh, I didn't do it for the money. I said, you stop that right now. I said, don't you dare ever be afraid of the blessing of God coming upon you. Don't you discourage, don't you push away, don't you ever stop the blessing of God. Listen, if we're ever going to fulfill destiny, we have to be blessed beyond ourselves. Listen, I thank God that He will pay my bill. I thank God that He will give me a big mansion, McDonald's, hallelujah. I thank God that if I want a little extra chicken, hallelujah, and a better slice of cheese, I can ask for it, praise the Lord. But I'm telling you that if I don't get beyond getting myself taken care of, I will never be able to have a heart, a vision, or the faith to fulfill God's destiny. Because I will tell you that once you become saved, and you can stop, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, Roger, you can go to be what the Bible says, I'm a new creature. And you can go to be that. But as soon as you get that, Roger, you have to earn the other part of that that says, I'm an ambassador. So my character, my nature, my attitude towards people, I'm representing the kingdom of God. And so therefore, I have to be nice, I have to be kind, I got to put up with someone's smiling, I don't put in the bad energy. And I got to be there with a smile, amen? And not only do I have to accept the ambassador, that not only do we have to take the charge of being an ambassador of representing Christ, we also have to own the other side of that scripture, which is that I will not help reconcile people to Christ. That means I will witness for Him, I will love for Him, I will pray for others, and I will get beyond my assignments and beyond the struggle of taking my You know, I remember last night I was at church with Pastor David, and him and Pastor Phillips sat down on the steps, and they said, you know, we have a great thing that we earned for this day. And they said, you know, we were giving the land here to build the church, and we're doing all that. They said, and we'll never forget that the real don't get mad because we got more faith, we got more than enough water, and we appreciate your good works. But right now, just let us not take a minute to do it. And he said, you know, sometimes you'll get mad because you think you're good, because you want to help me. But what about being led of the Spirit and being strong enough to know that just because someone has a seatbelt or just because they got a few dollars in their pocket, we need to remember that the biggest need anybody has in the face of this earth is Jesus Christ. Amen. And my whole point about this is that there's still a few days later that we impact them. And they said, right away, they went. I'll talk to Pastor about it later. They went on a journey to say, oh my goodness, whether they look wealthy or poor, even if they look middle class, that doesn't matter. Everybody has a need for Jesus. And I want you to understand something, that as we are determined and intentional, we've got to be strong enough to know that whether it's somebody at work, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's someone who's out on the street with nothing, begging with a sign, whether it's the Lord, I want us to understand something, that God needs you to be intentional. God needs you to be determined. God needs you to believe that He will bless for us. He needs you to believe that He is the solution for everybody. And He needs you to have a confidence in you that what He's done for you, He will do that for others and maybe even more. Amen? So we need to be a people who are truly determined to believe what God will be. And we need to be making sure that our mouth never speaks anything that wouldn't be as close to it. Says the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Your words of encouragement, your words about Jesus, your testimony, it has the power to feed in your life. Remember, the word of God is fresh to our very body and even to the marrow of our bones. Don't ever forget. And give people food. Listen, I can't wait until Sunday. I'll tell you, I need you a piece of fried chicken. I'll be doing that. But I tell you, also, the prayer and the text of your life But this Bible says this, and this is what we're trying to get to. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes it rich. And I know people don't like that, even that. Listen, rich is relative. Because if I'm an answer, can I buy you a couple of chickens and they go out and produce some eggs and you get to sell a couple of them, you got some wealth, amen? Now, here it is, because you might need a little more than that. But listen, being rich or being wealthy or being content means that you have enough for yourself, but you also have room for someone else. And I want you to know that the Lord says He will add richness to you without sorrow. And what that means is that you might get saved sooner and find yourself new. Well, it might not have come to feel like it, but you just been made rich in the realm of relationship. And when the Lord says that He will add no sorrow, what that means is that He would not put you into marriage without you guys having a right to tap into the covenant guidelines of the wisdom of God to make it blessed and true. The Lord is going to give you jobs. And I'm telling you, you're going to have job responsibilities and you're going to have opportunities to get promoted and listen to me. When God makes you rich or increases you, it doesn't mean that you're always going to increase. doesn't mean that the stress related to a job is going to increase. It just means that if God's going to have responsibility, riches, wealth, whatever, promotion, increase, if God is going to add that to you, then He will add His presence, His help, His strength to give you peace, to give you wisdom, and give you the ability to handle that increase. Listen, I tell you what, I got way more responsibility in my life today as a 25-year-old than I did when I was 20. Hey, well, I'm alive with things of God. All right, I have a lot more responsibility today than I did when I was 20. But let me tell you something. I got way more peace. I'm way more relaxed. I don't carry the stress. And I don't carry fear. Because I have been in this thing long enough now to know that if God does something, His provision will be all around me. And there ain't no need for me to get mad at you, get my weird about, get my fear out, because if I fail, God is going to answer my today and my tomorrow. Amen? So the amen. Give the Lord a hand. He's going to have responsibility. When you got the kingdom, you know, you say, hey, I gave you just a little bit of my life. Well, he says, if you received, you have received much. And if you're much is given, much is required. You're going to receive salvation. You're going to receive the responsibility of this world. But thank God that He will give you wisdom, He will give you help, and He will give you strength on how to handle every area of your life. Amen. Now, I've got to tell you one more thing. I would above all things that you would prosper and be in Christ, because you're so prosperous. And I want you to meditate on this, and I want you to let this get up in you, because here's what the Lord is telling you. Here's what the Lord is telling you. Beloved, I would above all things that you would prosper and be in Christ. So right there we know that to be the increase is the will of God. You don't have to preach these things, because you know that there are foolish people who have taken certain scriptures and made people think that a vow of poverty represents your love towards God. Listen, the Bible says that we are before this always, that therefore sow bountifully so you can reap bountifully, so you have the good will and good work. Listen to me. Poverty is not a sign. God's goodness. In fact, it's a curse from the doctrine who's trying to make sure that He keeps you in a position that you never have been trying to own your life and tell Him where you're going to go to live. Listen, I tell you what, there was times when even if we didn't have wanted to go to church when we first got saved, we couldn't because we didn't even have a half a gallon of gas to go down. I tell you what, there was times when we first got saved on this thing where I was walking. And there was a time where I had to walk without a car and I had an attitude. But there was a time once I got saved where I was walking and I just started saying, well, I thank you. Wherever it takes my feet were set, and I'm blessed. Woo! I own the women that I walk with. Like, you give me up a place where my, and I just started to have my own little business started leaving. It's one time I was facing God because we had cars to drive, and I was going to take one day, and I had my hands up. And Regina's boss came in the work and said, stop in the day. Tommy was waving at me, but Tommy was going out. You know, he had a chance to keep it on that line. He's from the church. He's probably just wants to keep it. Oh, I was going to work. He's going to work, but he's just praying and worshiping to God as he goes. Listen, I want you to know something. This is serious. God is going to change where you are as you grow in Him. See, this scripture says that I would that you would prosper and be in health. So, first of all, we know that health to me is prosperity, and it truly is. heresy between the fact that you should have good health, but you should prosper in the physical things you need to live a good life. Amen? And it says that these things are going to happen as your soul prospers. Listen, when you get back by giving your God, faith is going to come upon you. When you let yourself grow in the scriptures, mercy, kindness, favor, faithfulness, determination, peace, being able to be calm and depression, these things are going to come upon you. And it is not that you're going to take it upon you. So let's keep growing in that. Because as our soul prospers, the other areas of our lives will prosper.
Because God brings promotion. Say this with me. Say, I have favor, even if I don't like it. I'm blessed, even if I don't believe it. And I am loved because I am God's. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap.